Welcome back to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Stephen is teaching through the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation. He's currently in the book of Judges. Gideon was an unlikely hero. He was fearful and hesitant to obey God. Sometimes we're a lot like him. But his story reminds us that God's work is not dependent on our abilities, but on his. This lesson is called Putting Away the Fleece.
Evangelist D.L. Moody was used tremendously for the Lord during the late 1800s. But if you'd met him in his early years, you would have never imagined that he would have a global impact for Jesus Christ. In fact, when he was only 18 years old, he went to the deacons of his church to apply for church membership. Following the interview that was required, the deacons instead made him go through a year of biblical instruction because they felt he knew too little of God's word. The following year, he was interviewed again, and this time they allowed him to join, but in the notes they wrote, were allowing him to join with reservations. He was an unlikely candidate for church membership and certainly for God's service, but God will use him in a mighty way. Well, as we arrive today at Judges chapter 6, I don't think there's anybody less likely to be useful to God than this man named Gideon. He was an ordinary man, but again, he was available to God. And as my mother used to tell me growing up, the greatest ability is availability. Now, as chapter 6 opens here, we've got this old cycle of sin and repentance starting again all over. Verse 1 tells us the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So get the picture here. The Midianites, they're not overrunning the land. They're just waiting until the harvest, and then they'll sweep across the Jordan River and steal Israel's crops. Well, finally, after 7 years, the Israelites cry out in repentance to God, and they cry out for help. And God calls this rather ordinary man to become Israel's deliverer. Verse 11 takes us to that very moment, and we read, "Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." Now, this was normally done at a threshing floor. That's a flat area near the wheat field. But Gideon is separating the wheat from the chaff by hand here at a wine press. And that's because this is going to be the last place a Midianite soldier is going to come looking for grain. At this moment, the angel of the Lord, that is the Lord himself, appearing in angelic form, says to Gideon here in verse 12, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." I just think this is hilarious. Gideon doesn't look much like a mighty man of valor, does he? But the Lord adds here in verse 14, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" So God is promising victory here ahead of time, but not on the basis of Gideon's power, but through God's presence. Now, later on the same night here in verse 25, the Lord commands Gideon to pull down a local altar of Baal and burn the Asherah, that is that wooden pole representing Baal's mistress. He's supposed to, right on that same spot, then build an altar for the Lord. So essentially, Gideon is declaring war on Baal. Now, let me tell you, Gideon is going to be doing this in his own backyard. According to verse 25, this altar of Baal actually belongs to his father. I mean, there it is on the family farm. And Gideon is so afraid of what's going to happen, we're told here in verse 27, because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. So he does it in the middle of the night. Now, let's not be too hard on him. Sometimes the most difficult place to represent the Lord is where? Right in front of unbelieving family members and neighbors. You know, maybe you've already discovered that it's easier to share the gospel with a total stranger than with your own parents. Well, let me show you three results from Gideon's obedience to God. First, the entire city explodes in anger. You see, when the villagers discover that next morning what's happened, they demand here in verse 30 that Joash, Gideon's father, turn his son over to them. They say to him, "Bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal. He's cut down the Asherah beside it." So get this here. Israelites want to kill Gideon for removing an altar to Baal. This shows how far Israel has fallen spiritually. The second result here is that Gideon's father actually takes a stand. Verse 31 says, "Joash said to all who stood against him, 'Will you contend or fight for Baal? If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down.'" Now, Joash has been the shrine keeper of Baal all these years, but now, at this moment in time, he stands and defends his son's actions. Why? He knows Gideon is right. He knows this is something he should have done years ago. Well, the third result here is that Gideon's reputation is established. In fact, he's given a nickname here in verse 32. "Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbaal." Now, Jerubbaal means Baal contender, the man who fights against Baal. Now, I got to tell you, it's going to take more than a cool nickname to defeat the Midianites, which is why you read in verse 34 this wonderful phrase, "The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon." See, he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And with that, Gideon blows on a trumpet and people gather to him and they prepare for battle. But I want you to notice that Gideon here is still afraid. And in fact, he's got some serious doubts about all this. He's not a warrior. He's a farmer. So he goes back to the Lord here in verse 37 and says, "Behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it's dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you've said." And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. And you're thinking, well, that settles it, right? Not quite. You see, God had already promised Gideon victory. When you doubt the word that God has already spoken, putting out a fleece isn't going to bring peace of mind. So Gideon goes back to God. He reverses the test here in verse 39. He asks that this time the fleece stay dry while all the ground around it gets wet. And God so graciously responds again. Now, I don't have to tell you how popular Gideon's practice is to this day. Many Christians, in fact, use that phrase. "Well, I'm going to put out the fleece to determine God's will. Lord, if the phone rings today at 1 o'clock, I'll take option number one. If it rings at 2 o'clock, I'll take option number two." This is not trusting God. Beloved, this is testing God. We're not trusting him to lead us. We want an answer, and frankly, we want it right now. We want it today by 1 o'clock. See, laying out a fleece doesn't develop your faith. It distracts your faith. Gideon's fleece had nothing to do with God's word. God had already spoken his promise of victory. Now, let's be honest. We all suffer the same weakness as Gideon. We're all afraid of that future moment. We all want answers to some nagging problem. We want some sign of encouragement. We want a signpost of direction. Why? Well, because our faith is weak. Have you ever thought about the fact that the Lord already promised to take care of you? He's already promised to lead you and direct you and eventually take you home. God's word says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him," that is, put him first, "and he will make straight your paths." That's another way of saying, let's wait on the Lord. Let's not test the Lord. Let's trust the Lord each step of the way. And along the way, let me recommend you keep that fleece stored away up there in the attic and instead pray for wisdom. Get counsel from wise believers. If you're married, discuss options with your spouse. Consider your hidden motives. And above all, saturate your mind with the Word of God and trust His promise to take care of you and lead you. Well, until our next wisdom journey together, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Well, with today's lesson, we've reached a bit of a milestone here on the Wisdom Journey. This was lesson 100 in our journey through the Bible. I hope you've been blessed and encouraged so far. You know, we'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts and feedback on the Wisdom Journey. Send us an email. Address it to info@wisdomonline.org and share your thoughts with us. Do that today, then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.